And here we go. Snakes, Rats, and Goats, talking about Survivor, Season 32, Episode 7. This is your host, Ryan Elder, and with me as always...
Scott Chernoff.
We're getting right into it, Scott.
I thought we were going to keep it short.
We are going to maybe, you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. We missed last week, Scott, and I have to say I feel quite guilty.
It is your fault.
I know. No, it isn't my fault, but I still feel bad.
It's both of our fault. It's
yeah, it really is. We can share the blame.
We
can share the blame.
I believe we're both a little, you know, overwhelmed.
Yeah.
With life.
Yeah.
It's ups, it's downs.
I'm working on two jobs, and you have one job and a baby. So that's like three jobs. So
the kids is at least one extra job.
So, you know, if anyone's listening to this and they're really pissed at us for last week, well, first of all, they're probably not listening to us anymore, but, you know, you could suck it.
I think people just stopped. There's probably a fair amount of people who didn't notice. I mean, you know, we just didn't show up. We didn't put out a press release or anything.
We did try. We did try to do it, but...
That didn't work out so well.
Some people did notice.
I have all clips from last week. That's to prove that we tried.
Well, the other thing with last week that was so annoying is that I, for probably the first time in our, we're in what, our third season of the podcast, I was fully prepared with my answers for our segments.
Well, do you want to just give those?
That's how I should have known we were going to cancel because...
Yeah,
sure, I'll give him. I was, and we canceled because we just, I don't remember why.
We had to put it off on Thursday night, and then Friday night
was probably
just like
my
not going to work, and then it was like, I don't know, it just didn't work. It's all good.
Work out. Look.
Onward and upward.
Ryan has several TV shows to orchestrate.
I had a couple life-threatening infections as well.
I believe it.
So...
I actually did. I was sick and I had an infection.
Oh.
I kid you not. I
How
probably
fitting.
Shouldn't even share that, but it wasn't as, you know, quite
How
as
How close
disgusting.
To the bone was it? That's really the question, right? Like a joint. How close to a joint was it?
It was not close to a joint, so I was never in danger of any joints collapsing within 5 hours. That was terrifying.
Yeah.
That was terrifying because, like, you know, he's the doctor's thinking like, or you could be fine, but you could lose your elbow. So was it the knee?
It was the knee, but it was the knee. Did you watch the episode? I mean,
I did with the baby. It was a little distracted. But last week's fully prepared for. I mean, this week was like Survivor Interruptus because
yes,
the
totally.
Merge episode of all episodes to have a medevac, it just like halted all momentum.
I know, dude. I was so bummed out when they were like, we're not having tribal tonight. I'm like, what? You had tribal to like cram the Alicia boot in when Caleb was booted, but you can't find time for a sweet tribal tonight. I wonder if it was like, you know, I don't know. That could seem like production interference. Like, oh, they think someone's going to go home that they want to keep around. So they're going to try to just not have tribal. You know, like if
that
Aubrey
would be lame. I mean, that would be like producer interference / malfeasance because it would be making the show. It would be opting for less drama. So I can't imagine they would do that. Like, I don't think they ever want to not have tribal council. Maybe on that day if they're exhausted. But I just mean in general, I think they know the tribal council is the money shot of the show. So,
yeah, I wonder if they thought we gotta evacuate him now. It has to be today. There's no point in having tribal because we need cameras on him while he leaves and. I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
I don't think it's because of needing cameras on him while he leaves.
That's true.
It doesn't take long.
Yeah.
Although I did read that they left and on the boat, and then somebody remembered that they hadn't told the players that there wasn't going to be tribal council, So then they turned the boat around, and Jeff popped out and was like, no tribal council tonight, guys.
Yeah, I read that too. That's really funny because, you know, obviously the camera guys got to get out there too.
Right.
Yeah.
But just in terms of tribal council, and since we didn't have one last night, I will share with you one of my segment choices from last week.
Okay.
And that was that it was my hold up bro.
Oh.
Because I genuinely did rewind to see both the crossed out final whatever parchment.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I have we seen before? I can't recall.
You know what? We have seen it before.
We've seen it maybe once.
We saw it in Borneo when Jervis tried to vote out Greg, but he had immunity.
Okay, well, I meant in a real.
No, we've never seen anyone, quote, change their mind because it's a bad play. It's a
We learned this week.
Yeah, I was going to say last week, I have it written down right here, that Aubrey was going to be my ill regrets because it's a terrible, terrible move to write down someone's name and then cross it off. Like,
you were right. You were right. And especially, like, she didn't even attempt to hide who it was that she first wrote down.
Yeah, it wasn't like she... But on the previously on in this episode, they showed there's a bunch of blank parchment there. She could have just thrown that one away, like...
Yeah, couldn't they have a bunch of...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so she...
She wanted to do something... Well, she wanted to do something memorable, is my guess. And it was good TV. I'll give them that, you know?
But my hold-up bro was a... twofer, because I rewound it to see two things that happened in a row.
All right.
One was the revelation of that vote, just because it was so unique.
Mm-hmm.
And the second was what Jeff's words of wisdom immediately after, which I did have memorized a week ago, and they went something like, well, in a game full of uncertainty, what's certainly true is that there's certain to be uncertainty.
Did he really say that?
Well, I had it memorized last week, and this week I may have added extra uncertainty in there, but he definitely said it like three times.
Isn't that just a twist on expect the unexpected? I mean, isn't he just kind of doing the exact same thing?
Because he threw in the... You know, certainly. It was like, in a game of uncertainty, you can certainly expect uncertainty.
That's a bit of a hat. Like, that's a bit of a hat on a hat for me right there.
It was like a hat on a sombrero.
On another hat.
On
one of those Sherlock Holmes hats.
Like those. That or a Captain Steubing hat.
All right, yeah.
So that was my hold up bro for last week.
All right. So after that brief recap of last week.
By that. Yeah. By that moment.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about the evac and how it sucked, because boy, did it suck. Let's talk about that some more, because there's some stuff that came out in his exit interview that I think is really interesting. Sort of behind the scenes stuff. The whole thing just smacked of like, there's no way this is a like authentic experience. What's going on here with Dr. Rupert?
Was it like Sunday that the other doctor have the day off? Because I don't think Dr. Rupert is the main doctor.
Maybe Dr. Rupert is like the dermatologist, and you know, Dr. Joe is the ER doctor or something.
I think they have specialists for every.
I'm sure they don't. But so Neil said in his,
they've got Dr. Elliot, the proctologist.
Yeah. So Neil said in his exit interview that he actually expected to be pulled from the game after the challenge earlier in the day, the immunity challenge, because they checked out everyone at that challenge anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And they let him go. So he was like, okay, maybe I'm good, right? And then when he saw the boat coming up, he was like, all right, that's it. I'm toast. Because he knew.
I read something where he said, oh, they made a show of checking the other three people, but it was all about.
Yeah, well, they saved him for last, and they saved his knee one for last because they wanted to like make a big deal out of the back one because it looked so nasty. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it was definitely.
And if you watch the music, the music really tells us that the back one is a real problem until they take him aside. Because the music is like, it's like a horror movie when they start to show the back one. It's really dark.
It is amazing how much the music influences you. Because I know I was immediately just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
It was like a horror movie. I noticed on my second watch.
My problem with this season is that I'm seeing a lot more like suffering and gross things, like boils on people's backs and, you know, open wounds and like microbe larvae crawling into people, into and out of people's brains.
Why is it? Oh, and, it's such a nasty season.
I don't want to see that. Please don't ever go back to Cambodia.
Yeah, they won't.
Like, it's horrible.
I honestly want to see this exact cast somewhere where they didn't have all this like crappy shit happen, because this cast is unreal good, dude. They're so good.
How did the season that filmed right after them, which we already watched, not go through all this?
They took a lot more precautions, don't you think?
The weather, I guess.
Yeah.
There were a lot more balancing balls challenges, but...
They also... Yeah, I mean, they didn't have the heat issues because they were prepared for that. And then I think with the infections, they probably were way more proactive with any little nick or cut people had on them.
Mm.
And speaking of nick...
Wow!
I don't need to transition that badly.
That hurt. That took a piece out of me.
Right out of your knee. I love this cast. I absolutely love this cast. All the people that we barely got to see pre-merge are now like heavily featured members of the cast.
I know. I'm still
speaking of Nick.
On the plus side of this season is I'm still at a loss to predict who wins.
All right. So last week I was 100% convinced for sure it was Michelle, right?
I know. You told me that.
And I still think it's Michelle, but
this
episode, Aubrey jumped up a lot. I think they're just building a story with her, though, because they really wanted us to know she was for sure the next one gone.
Mm-hmm.
They even like took a lot of the mystery out of it, the things before the medevac, like a couple.
Right,
of
you learn why, because they weren't a tribal.
Right.
That's why you got to see Michelle and Nick make their decision.
Yes, exactly.
There
wasn't any of this, like, we don't know what we're going to do. I mean, we could go this way or we could go that way. You know, none of that business. It was really just straight up.
Well, why? So you are convinced that Michelle is the winner. I think she's certainly, that's possible. There's very few people that I say, no way. And, you know, I think she could be the winner, but why are you so high on Michelle?
I'm almost positive a dude does not win the season. There's so many little hints here and there that they're foreshadowing a woman winning. And in fact, it almost feels like they're foreshadowing an all woman final three, with Debbie saying three times we've seen her say, I want a woman to win the season. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Michelle had that super woman power confessional in the last episode where she talked about how she doesn't need, what does she say?
I don't need to be carried, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Yeah, that was a really good scene for her.
Really good. And to me, that was like a moment where my winner's dar pinged.
Uh-huh.
Winner dar.
Yeah.
Like, that was definitely like my spidey sense was tingling on that moment, because it really felt like the kind of edit that a winner like Michelle, sort of an under the radar female winner, gets when they're going to win. Her arc has really followed Parvati's in Micronesia. In a similar sort of
how
way,
so?
in the way that she's been edited as under the radar and not like a big part of the pre-merge business. I need to
think Parvati was a bigger character. in my
well it wasn't she was an all-star
probably because it was an all-star.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a lot of like Penner warning against
right.
don't let Parvati
right.
win.
Yeah,
in the
so,
very
so there isn't that for Michelle in this one. Nobody's saying, oh, Michelle's gonna win, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who are they saying that about?
Darnell.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're gonna I think
actually.
Well, I mean, it sort of felt like they thought Aubrey was a real threat, but
I could tell. I thought they were just voting out Aubrey because
they
Neil had the
yeah,
idol.
They were hoping Neil would play the idol one way or the other.
Right.
Yeah,
so
it's interesting. They couldn't afford to split, right? I mean, unless they were 100% sure
no,
they had
they
the full
couldn't.
Seven.
Right. It. I don't think they could have, but...
They could have, actually. They could have, but it would have been a problem if... So here's what they could have done. They could have gone 4 on Aubrey, 3 on Neil, but then if Neil plays the idol on Aubrey, then there's 4 brain votes to vote out whoever they want.
Right.
So they can't exactly afford to do it.
Mm.
They're one off from being able to do it. They could do it and then use the super idol if things go wrong.
Hey, why not?
Yeah. I'm
why not use the super
idol? It really feels like the super idol might get played now, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk of it.
A
so
lot of
it
talk of it.
Feels like they wouldn't be playing it up so much if it doesn't pay
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I feel like Scott is going to convince Ty to do it.
I almost wonder if it never ended up paying off. Like, has it ever happened that they've had a twist like that, that they just edit it out of the show entirely?
Yeah, that would be tough,
because
right?
it didn't factor in at
yeah.
all. You could cut out people saying like, oh, this has a super idol twist where if I, because mm-hmm. if it never,
we would have heard about it from, we would have heard about it from contestants though, after the fact. I mean, right.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe they haven't done it. Cause we've heard about like a mutiny offer from a season that didn't end. Nobody ended up mutinying. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. It's not ringing a
it
bell.
Was, it might have been in Palau, I want to say. It was before...
Mutiny
before
sounds like
the
Pearl
mutiny
Islands
in
thing.
Cook Islands. Yeah, but it was... They did it in Cook Islands.
Mm.
And people took the opportunity to switch tribe.
Oh,
but
that, yeah, yeah.
There was a season, supposedly, where they also offered that, and nobody took it.
Well, that's about as close as it's going to get to what you're talking about. I mean,
took it out of the show entirely.
Yeah.
Also, I want to say, just to play devil's advocate, like, I think Michelle is a very solid contender, and I like
mm-hmm,
her.
Mm-hmm.
We have heard, I want a woman to win before, many times, and it hasn't always panned out.
Yeah, I mean, you also do need to consider the source of that statement as well. You know what
right.
I mean?
Because Debbie is not was not painted in a very positive light.
No, Debbie is no longer a winner contender.
Debbie
period, end of story.
Briefly flirted with
yeah.
the possibility of winners
and,
at
and
it,
and she lost it all by the way that she talked to Ty in this episode.
Yeah,
winners
well,
do not get shown doing that, and then have
no,
so
and,
much third person.
Well, there were a couple, like 2 or 3 scenes where she talked to various people like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also
was,
yeah. a running theme of people saying people
exactly.
don't like Debbie and they're annoyed by her. And
yeah,
you know,
I mean, you know, if when someone is going to win, they don't get that much like third person perspective where someone's talking about them in a negative light like that. They just don't they don't air that stuff.
I can't think of a time it's happened since Jenna Maresca in the Amazon.
Yeah, it's really rare.
That was a long time ago.
In fact, usually the winner gets talked about. Well, you know what? Actually, Mike got talked about negatively after he made his crazy.
That's true.
But it was in reaction to a specific thing instead of a general.
Yeah, but
although,
they did.
And he also got talked about negatively as like being the firewood guy.
Yeah.
Early on in the season. So it does happen. It's just not very common.
Well,
I mean, if you look at
say,
like One World, for example, like nobody ever said anything bad about Kim Spradlin.
I certainly didn't.
No, what can you say? There's nothing.
You can't. There's not. Well, she's too perfect.
Right.
You're too good at the game of Survivor.
Is that like the what's your biggest flaw interview question?
Exactly. That would be her
Frankly,
only answer.
I'm just too perfect.
She's so perfect and so flawless that she made it absolutely impossible for anybody else to win.
There you go.
And that was very selfish.
Very boring. Very boring TV.
Because, you know, when a Kim Spradling comes in and dominates like that, people tend to say, well, you know, they played against a bunch of idiots.
Oh, yeah. But
and they say that about Boston Rob the time he won.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, but I think they might just have been so good that they're going to win no matter what, no matter who's against them. And if that person weren't in the game, there might have been somebody else who rose up as a great player.
Yeah, who wins One World if Kim Spradlin is replaced by Shambo?
Wow. I mean, Sabrina came in second, so she's a contender. And
I think it's probably, you know, it's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah, Troyzan might have to be in the discussion.
He's not going to win.
He was pretty good.
Troyzan's not going to win. He's not going to win.
But he at least understood the game.
Absolutely, but he was another person that people were turned off by.
Fair enough.
They didn't want to vote for Coach. They don't want to vote for Debbie. You
know, no, we're not talking about Tarzan. We're talking about Troyzan.
But Troyzan's also crazy.
He's not a coach or a Debbie, though. Come on.
He's not a coach
Troyzan
or a Debbie.
Troyzan had some game. All right, anyways, we don't need to get into One World.
I'm just talking about in terms of personality, in terms of how he rubs people.
Well, speaking of Jonas, the Tribe podcast has Jonas as a guest this week, so check that out if you're a One World fan.
Hey, I'm not a One World fan, but I am. I did think Jonas was good. I like Jonas.
Yeah, he was good.
And I love him.
And he was friends with Jennifer from this season to tie it all back.
Jenny Lanzetti, yeah. That's a power duo.
All right, so
they gotta come back for a blood versus water.
So let's talk about Debbie and how she wants to form an alliance with Ty while everyone else is watching.
I mean, it's just obviously very ham-handed. It wasn't very finessey.
It was objectively bad too. Like what
said, she's not finessey.
Yeah, exactly.
So go ahead.
It was obviously bad, like objectively too. Like, even if people told us it was bad, like Aubrey or whoever, they said, oh, she's bad, she did a bad job. Like, just watching it, you know she's doing a bad job.
Obvious. And also she doesn't have the knowledge that Ty is already in a tight alliance.
You'd think
with somebody outside of that circle, but she also doesn't have the, so you can't blame her for not having that knowledge, but you can blame her for not having the awareness that that's a possibility.
You know who I can blame for her not having that knowledge is Aubrey and Joe. You know,
so either they told her and she just ignored it, or they didn't tell her.
Yeah,
well, Joe is not my list of possible winners.
No, I know. I feel like we still have one more medevac to go is the sad thing.
Remember when he interrogated Peter?
Oh, that was great.
Was that last week's episode?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. I loved that because Peter looked like the biggest liar on earth in that situation.
I know. Just tell me, were you trying to get rid of me?
Wait a minute. Yeah, this is where I need that.
Justin, yes or no? Just say it. Yes or no? I mean, what? Joe, you know me. I'm your buddy. It was just like, at first when Joe walked over, I was like, oh, geez, he's going to try to interrogate him. He's completely off his rocker. And then I was like, well, he got the answer. He got the truth right away.
It was obvious.
It was obvious. I don't know what he gained by, you know.
He needed Peter right after that. You know what I mean? Like, he had to go back and apologize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So, like, it was just like, it didn't accomplish anything. Like, he should have just gone with his gut and known. without having to confront him, but it was good TV. So, you know, if that's why he did it.
If that's why, I don't think that's why he did it.
I would guess that he,
good TV.
Well, I would guess that that's like maybe not overtly that, but this idea that he was an FBI guy and he, you know, he can read people and he wants like an opportunity to prove that on TV. I could totally see that being a reason why he would do it.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. Remember that FBI guy who was on Big Brother many years ago?
Yeah, that guy.
I think he may have worked in the cafeteria at the FBI. I don't think he knew what was going on at any moment.
I seem to remember thinking he had a good shot and maybe he got screwed or something.
Yeah,
but
he was likable. He was nice. Yeah, exactly. He didn't backstab anybody. But
yeah, I feel like I read that Ian, to briefly go off on Big Brother here, I feel like I read that Ian rated that guy, I think his name was Jack, as like the number one best player that he would love to see play again and who would do a good job or something. Yeah, I could be wrong. That might have been
Steve. Big Brother fan than I am, so
fair enough. Yeah,
I'll take his word for that. Maybe I forgot how awesome Jack was.
I think you did, but
Who didn't? You know, I have such an amazing memory for Survivor, and like very little memory of Big Brother.
Yeah, I
watched The Amazing Race. Like I remember everything that happened with Boston Rob on The Amazing Race. I remember nothing else. I remember Ethan and Jenna.
Yeah, what do you remember? Courtney and
I remember the twins.
Do you remember Keith and Whitney from a couple seasons ago on The Amazing Race?
I did not. I had stopped watching by that point, and the return of Keith and Whitney to my television screens was not enough to lure me back to The Amazing Race.
You weren't interested in seeing a Survivor South Pacific All-Stars Keith and Whitney back on your television screen?
Not one of my favorite seasons, and two of the blander characters, at least in the way they were presented to me.
Scott. Two of our listeners are gone now.
Well, we call them like we see them. You know, if they had, you know, let's say Peter and Darnell, then maybe they'd lure me back.
That would be great.
The Amazing Race. Or, you know, so if they had Survivor people on that I cared about, I admit I would watch. I would go back and watch The Amazing
Race. How about who just pick two Survivors that you'd like to see on The Amazing Race together the most?
Of anybody of all time?
Yeah, all time.
Sky's
the limit. You can pick.
I would love to see a team of Sandra and Suri.
Ooh.
Working as a team. They probably would not do very well because the game is very physical.
Can you imagine Sandra bungee jumping?
So maybe they wouldn't be the best at The Amazing Race. Because they can't get by on just their wits.
No, I think they would be terrible. They would lose in the first episode, probably. I just can't imagine Sandra caring enough. You know what I mean? Like, her whole thing is that she doesn't care.
Okay, well then I'll switch my vote.
No, it's okay. I love that.
Let's say Ty.
All right.
And Rudy.
All right. I'm on board.
With a secondary vote for for Max Dawson.
Oh.
And T-Bird.
Friend of the show, Max Dawson. I would pick, and it's going to be the same answer I have for any question involving two different survivors. I would pick Skinny Ryan and Parvati.
What? I'm surprised you're not saying Coach. You love Coach.
No, I know. There's like a running bit I have with friends that I'm shipping Skinny Ryan and Parvati.
Like, you have friends who watch Survivor?
I do now.
You're the only friend I know who watches Survivor.
No, I've met a whole bunch of people because of this podcast. If you could actually get out of your house once in a while, you would too.
That would be awesome. Yeah, you never know. One day, when the kids are old enough to not want to spend time with me.
When we're on season 50.
I'll make it out.
Yeah. That's probably when I'll have enough time to audition by, you know, in like 20 seasons.
I do have a dream, a very modest dream. Like, you want to be on the show. My modest dream is to attend, be an audience member at the live finale.
Yeah, that's a tough ticket to get, man.
Sure it is. I've never tried. I assume.
I thought,
you have to know somebody.
That's always kind of been behind in the back of my mind, too. And I thought, oh, you know, maybe I can. And then I'm like hearing like how really hard it is to get that ticket. Like, really freaking hard. So
I'm not holding my breath.
I think I have a better chance of getting cast on the show than getting a ticket to the finale.
I think I might have a better chance as well of getting on the show. Well, in any case.
All right. So let's talk about, I want to talk about the Aubrey winner edit that we got in this episode. Are you buying it? Are you buying it? This whole,
I think she's a viable contender. I mean, I don't know if that's just because she reminds me of Sophie. But what?
The Oregon Trail speech after Neil was medevac.
Yes. That was a good speech.
Great speech. Her. Smacked of winner edit, didn't it?
It's a possible winner edit. I've lost all confidence in winner edit.
It's really tough. This season's tough because the pre-merge was edited so heavily towards Jason and Scott because they were going to tribal more often, and Debbie and Ty. Basically, the show was had three people on the cast for the first like four episodes.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, it was just like Ty, Debbie, and Jason
and Scott,
yeah, as sort of like the satellite moon to Jason's planet Earth. You know
there have been a few seasons recently where the person I thought was getting the winner's edit was not the winner.
I'd say Mike was the only one who
was a semi-obvious winner's edit, but like Natalie was not.
Yeah,
you know, Jeremy was not, to my mind, an obvious winner's edit.
See, Jeremy had moments pre-merge where you were like, okay, this could be a winner edit when he talks.
He
about
had a lot of
moments.
Stuff.
Yeah,
there were other people who there, also.
No,
had
that's the great thing about Cambodia is that there were so many people that were also getting similar edits. The editors are getting really good at knowing what makes a quote-unquote winner's edit and giving us that from multiple people. The first time I noticed this, and it seems like a new trend, is they're creating stories and heroes pre-merge that are not important post-merge, right? And they're content with people having five episode story arcs like Caleb in this season. But the people that really come to mind are Jeremy and Josh from San Juan del Sur, right?
Right.
Both of those guys were getting heavy winner edits pre-merge. Like, it was like, which one's going to win, Jeremy or Josh? And then they were like 1 and 2 post-merge, you know?
Just taken out.
Because the story of the pre-merge was about Jeremy and Josh.
And then the obvious winner was John Mish.
Yeah, and then, well, that's the thing. Survivor does like to edit one guy who seems like he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
They like that sort of alpha dude edit.
Right, and sometimes that person wins, like
right,
Mike
sometimes they win, right, and Jeremy. I would argue Jeremy shared that edit with Spencer, but
and Kelly Wentworth.
Right. But I'm talking about males in particular.
Oh,
female winners are often not edited that same way. Look at Natalie Anderson, you know,
sure.
Or Sandra in both her seasons was like not featured as like, I'm definitely going to win. I'm here to win $1 million. And for my family, blah, blah, blah. You know, like that was not the way they were edited. And to me, that's a huge disservice to the women that do win the game. And one of the reasons why I like the seasons with female winners better is because they're way less obvious.
I agree in general. Like Denise Stapley.
Yep. Exactly.
You know, obviously Kim Spradlin, but she was obvious.
She was obvious because it seemed like nobody else had a clue.
Right. But Denise, I didn't think was obvious.
No.
In any case.
And the biggest reason why Denise wasn't obvious is because they lost like the first six tribal councils. You know, Matt Singh was such a dumpster fire.
Well, look, let's not judge.
That's what we do, Scott. We talk about which tribes are dumpster fires or not.
No, I won't have it. Because Russell Swan doesn't lose.
Right.
Russell Swan is a winner and a leader.
He is definitely a leader.
Whether he wants to be or not. The tribe would be a quote-unquote dumpster fire. It just doesn't even add up. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, look, if we ask our guest from two seasons ago, you know, Danger Dave Ball, Russell Swan can do no wrong, you know?
I know. Wasn't that interesting? He was, like, calling him, like...
He called him...
Cheerleader or something.
He called him... What did he call him? It wasn't coach. Chief. Something... He called him chief.
Chief.
Chief of the tribe.
Did they elect chiefs that season?
They might have, yeah. They might have, yeah. I don't remember.
But nobody was calling the other guy chief.
No. Well, because the other guy didn't embrace it as much as Russell
Swan. Was
that
GC? Was that the season with GC?
No, it was Samoa, right? Wasn't Russell Swan Samoa? Yeah, because
there was a
Russell.
Saying who was the
I don't remember.
The other tribe.
I don't remember.
Well, in any case, Dave Ball seemed to really believe very strongly in Russell. So
Russell Swan. Yeah.
So I'm just talking about Russell Swan, Philippines.
Right. That's where he was a hero and a leader, a reluctant leader.
Right. That's my version of events. But back to Survivor Koa Rong.
Sure. We can talk about that.
Island of the Medivacs.
Yes.
Is there a, you brought up a Nick before.
Yeah, let's talk about Nick's
definitely
edit.
Emerged. So, now, last week, I thought he emerged because he was going to be the next to go. I thought he was going to be the next to go this week. And that's partly my simplistic grasp of the game from just watching, because my reasoning had to do with the fact that he was the only one who, at least to my knowledge, wasn't in any alliance, and all the others were sort of intertwined.
That's a good place to be, though.
It just didn't play out that way, yeah.
Well, that's a good... If you're not in an alliance, you might be needed by an alliance. You know what
true,
I mean?
True, but I don't think everybody knows about all the different alliances.
That's true. You know who does know about the different alliances is Nick.
It's Nick.
Man, he was dialed in this episode.
Yeah.
If we had gotten anything from him in the first five episodes of the season, I would be like, okay, so maybe Nick might be a winner. Right.
Yeah, but I still don't think he is. I still think he's being played as overconfident.
I agree.
He turned out to be actually pretty good. Like, I thought he would fall this episode from overconfidence, but he actually did pretty well.
He
so
did great.
What do
and he got Scott and Jason to tell him that they had an idol and that Ty also had an idol.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much he did to get them to do
Wait,
that.
Wait, actually, I could
other
be
than
wrong.
Hanging out with them.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I actually could be wrong. Maybe they didn't tell him about their idol. They just told him about Ty's.
That's true.
I think that's what happened, which is smart, by the way. I actually like Scott's plan of immediately telling Nick, hey, Ty has an idol, because it builds trust with Nick in a way that's like hard. That's like hard to build trust in that way right after the merge.
Scott's been playing pretty well, I think, whether or not likable.
On paper, Scott has been playing amazingly well.
Like, if a man wins the season, it's probably him.
Yeah. If we're just looking at who's playing a good game and who is positioned well to win the game, you have to put Scott on that list. But if you look at the edit, he can't win. I think he's had a bad edit. He hasn't had the kind of edit that you get if you're a winner. They would have given him more credit for getting the idol. You know what I mean? When Jason got the idol, I think they would have given Scott more credit. They would have made him seem more like a hero. In a way, it would have appeared to be like Scott got the idol. I feel like there's a way to edit it where he looks more like a worthy winner. But man, I'm loving his strategy. The guy is great. Like, he just, people like him.
Yeah, he's playing really well, and I love the relationship between him and Ty.
I love it.
And I love, you know, just how far we've come as a people to where the difference between how gay people were treated, both you know, as characters and just by the other players in the early days of Survivor.
Yeah.
Not that everybody was terrible to them, but it was always sort of an issue. You know?
Yeah, it was always, yeah, it was always like,
I tell them I'm gay and this one hates gay people and he's going to have to, like, you know, get to know me and realize I'm a good person and change his heart. And now they're just like,
now Jason is like, yeah,
and, like, pretending to flirt and like, yeah, just having a ball.
Yeah. It was like, great. It was great.
These yahoos like Scott and Kyle Jason can, you know,
yeah,
have no, just hang out like normal buds, then we have come a long way.
Totally. I'm, yeah, happy. I mean, to be fair, it's been,
I think it's all better.
It's been what, 15 years? I mean, I'd hope we had come a long
we've
way.
We've made a lot more progress in 15 years, yeah, than I thought we would. There's still a lot of, not saying everybody has made it there, but, you know, all of that. I know, yeah, there's a lot of hate out there. So, Ryan, don't you personally tweet me about this. But in general, I think, you know,
no,
to some
it is
degree,
it's warms my heart, you know.
Things are nicer.
Mm-hmm. It's great to see that.
Well, it warms your heart. I was saying it's a terrible thing. Just how much it's changed.
Jeez, I did not get that from your context, Scott. I'm not
I don't like it when people get along.
It's not good TV, all right? It's not good TV that they're like each other.
They all hated each other.
I know, geez. If it was only the real world.
Miss, you know, the Richard Rudy storyline.
All right. What else? Like,
I was thinking of, like, at what age can I show my children Survivor? Because just, like, see if they are interested in watching it. I don't want them seeing, like, the season one finale, like, Dr. Sean laughingly says, like, you know, well, I'm giving the million to the fat naked fag. That's a direct quote.
Yeah, that's insane.
That was allowed.
Yeah, why would they air that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Prime time during the family hour. Like, I don't want my children to see that.
Yeah, you know, my nieces watch the show and they're, you know, 8 and 9, and I think they probably started a year ago or so, and it's good. They like it a lot. I think some of that stuff flies over their head.
Yeah, I don't want to see have my kids watch, like, you know, Gandia saying that Ted was grinding to her.
Oh, yeah, no way. That we skip those seasons, that's for sure. They watch mostly modern seasons when they do watch old seasons. They've seen Pearl Islands. That's the oldest.
Right. I feel like, just show them anything with Ozzy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
well, not Redemption Island, though. God.
And not well, you mean South Pacific.
Or South Pacific, yeah.
And actually, I don't know. Micronesia might be a little sexually explicit.
That's what they're watching now, actually.
Your nieces are watching Micronesia.
Yeah, they're into it.
How far back have they gone in the series?
So they watched Pearl Islands. That's the oldest one they've seen. That I can remember. They watched Kageyan. They watched. We're trying to set them up for Heroes Villains, you know?
Okay.
They've watched Tokenchin's China. They watched Fiji, I think.
I love that. And they don't know who wins and they don't, like, Google it
or
anything.
No, but one of them is always like, remind me who wins this season again. And I'm like, you're in the middle of watching that, right? Like, you don't know who wins. I'm not telling you.
she's trying to trick you.
Yeah, she always wants to, like, know ahead of time so she can spoil it for everyone.
Remind me.
Yeah, she's clever.
Remind me again.
She's clever.
Oh, children.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to have that connection with them, you know?
Yeah.
They're into it. All right.
Well, I guess I'll have to curate it for the kids.
Yeah. I think, you know, certain seasons stand out as ones that are much more family friendly. And the older you go, the more risky it is. You know, like, even Amazon is like, there's so much, like, sexuality in the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. Like, even, you know, the great Rob C, like, most of the stuff that he talks about, like, basically ogling the women tribe, they just would not air anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he wouldn't say anymore is the funny part.
Yeah, exactly. Even if he was still the young version of himself, I don't think he would say it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Times have changed.
Yeah. It's kind of insane. Like that this show is so old that we can look at those early seasons and go, wow, how was that on TV?
Yeah. It's like Law and Order. You look back and you're like, oh yeah, that's what the world was like.
Yeah, exactly.
20 years ago.
Exactly.
The same show that's still on now.
So we got a lot of, I want to get back to this real quick. I just looked at one of my notes. We got a lot of talk from multiple people that Scott and Jason are overconfident.
Yes.
Right. Both Nick and Michelle were like, they're so overconfident. But we also got to hear Nick and Michelle say, nobody's going to vote for Scott or Jason to win.
Right.
Is it?
I don't know what to make of that.
So is it too early to be talking about taking someone to the end because you can beat them, or is the merge the exact time to start talking about that?
I don't think it's ever too early.
I think it's definitely too early to be like basing your vote on whether or not you can beat someone.
Not basing your vote, but what about forming an alliance early on with somebody you think you can trust and that you can beat in the end?
That's fine, but like if you're a swing vote and you're deciding between two factions.
Oh, no, that shouldn't be. At that point, the
definitely
decision
not. Definitely
maker.
Not. That's why Darnell being voted out is so absurd. He was too likable. Like, that's just a terrible reason early on in the game.
Yeah. Well, look. Don't question the Braun tribe's wisdom.
Yeah.
Jason's they're not called Jason. The Braun tribe for nothing.
Right.
So
I want to, one more thing I wanted to talk about is, or at least
and then
one
I
more
have
thing
for you, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, is it related to what we were just talking about? Cause go ahead if it is.
Not in the least.
Okay. So I do not understand why the swing votes were the beauty tribe, right? That blows my mind because shouldn't it be the beauties and the brains fighting over the smaller group of bronze?
I mean, common sense would dictate that, but I don't know. I think the brains and the bronze just thought the other sides were the more threatening sides.
Yeah, I also think that it's a byproduct of Julia and Ty getting in real tight with Scott, and that's a testament to Scott's game that he got put with those people and made those connections that basically locked him in to final seven.
Yeah, I don't think Ty would ever turn on Scott.
I don't either, which is why I'm like, okay, so Nick and Michelle are going to have to jump back and forth if they want to make this work. You know what I mean?
Because that's one potential final four or five, potential final five right there is the three bronze.
Julia and Ty.
Plus Julia and Ty.
Exactly. That's why Nick and Michelle, they're on the bottom of that seven. They're going to have to like vote out Aubrey and then next time switch and vote out someone from the other side, you know, kind of pull a Rob Sesternino to get themselves closer to the top, or they will not be there in the end.
Or switch this next time.
Well, now is the time when that's why I think Aubrey will not be the target again, because they're really foolish if they do that, because they can't regain control of
Aubrey.
Yeah. Like they need Aubrey and Joe and Debbie now to vote out someone from that other five.
Oh, you mean Nick and Michelle?
Nick and Michelle do, yeah. I'm talking about them as swing votes. Like, they're just...
Well, I'm not 100% sure how close they are, first of all.
How close Nick and Michelle are? Yeah.
I mean, we saw them doing that one scene, but it was mostly Nick doing the talking, and Michelle might have just been thinking, right, that's my best option this
week.
Well,
one thing I like, I think that Nick improved his game from last episode to this episode is he said, well, what do you want to do to Michelle?
Right. That was good.
And Michelle was like, I think we should go with the bronze. And he was like, I agree.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
That was good. Hey,
but also I think the show wants us to think that they're a unit, right? Like, So either they are a unit or, you know, they're going to be a unit because the show wants us to know that they're a unit, you know?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're a successful unit.
Well, they might not be. I'm just saying, like, from Nick and Michelle's point of view, they have to jump back and forth. They cannot just stay with that seven because they're at the bottom. Unless they think they can win Julia and Ty back over, which I just don't see happening.
They might think that.
And maybe Julia and Ty are not giving them any reason to doubt that.
I mean, Julia and Michelle were in an alliance together.
Yep, yep. It's Ty that I'd be worried about. You know what I mean? He's so close with Scott, clearly.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be worried about Ty.
Man, I really want to see this season where we don't have medevacs. This episode was shaping up to be amazing.
I know. What I have no idea what would have happened.
I think Aubrey would have gone home, but they would have edited in a way where it would have been really exciting. And Idols would have been played for sure.
Well, do you think that Neil would have played his idol for himself or for Aubrey?
I don't know that he would have had the info he needed, so he might have played it for himself. But he says in his exit interviews he knew it was going to be Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
But that might not be, you know, that's not canon. But if we take him for his word on that, then it's possible he would have played it on Aubrey. On the other hand, he also said he was playing to get to the end, not to just make it to one more week. And it's possible he would have just kept his idol until he knew the vote was on him.
Well, he clearly kept his idol.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Were you screaming at him to give it to her?
I was pretty perplexed that he didn't, because it's so bad when you don't. Like, look at how Colton was perceived when he left as on a medevac and just took his idol with him. It just does not look good.
It doesn't look good. I mean, I kept people some slack. If they're getting medevaced out, they're probably overwhelmed with emotion and,
well, he had,
and not thinking straight.
Yeah, but you know, we know, having read his exit interview, that he had plenty of time to decide. And did you read why he ultimately?
I read one thing where he said that he wanted to keep it because it was like his tie to the island or something.
Well, that's part of it, I'm sure. But here's a couple notes I'll say that I picked up from his exit interviews. He said that he was pretty sure he was getting pulled from the game after the immunity challenge. It didn't happen. So when he got back, him and Aubrey went out and they were talking in the water. Or maybe this was the night before even. And he was like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get medevaced. And he thought about giving her the idol then, and they talked about it actually, but she said something along the lines of, I'll cut your throat if I have to. Like,
saying, why would she say that?
Yeah. Cause Aubrey is playing hardcore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's playing like a stone cold master. Like,
that's not playing like
not
a
master. She's playing stone cold, though. You know what I mean?
Stone cold, but then you don't tell somebody you're going to cut their throat.
Big mistake, because she might. She'd probably have an idol.
And you know, especially if you're discussing this person leaving the game but giving you their idol on the way out, you might.
Who knows what the context was, though? You know, like maybe it was like. Maybe she was just saying, like, she was trying to say, like, I'll do anything to get ahead in the game, you know, to sort of give him. Maybe, like, her point was, if you give me the idol, I'm going to fight hard. I'm not going to give up. Do you know what I mean? Maybe that was her angle. And she was saying, like, heck, if you were still here, I'd cut your throat if I had to. You know what I mean?
Who knows what she said.
But in any case, so that turned him off, and he decided.
Yeah, I heard he decided he didn't like her.
He didn't want to give her the idol. But then he said he also regretted it about 15 minutes on the boat. 15 minutes after getting on the boat. He's like, why do I have this? This is dumb. But he also said, and I don't know if this will come into play in the next episode, but he said he sort of made it look like he was maybe giving her an idol when he left.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually kind of worse, right?
Yeah, because you're implicating her without her.
It's
actually
tough,
giving her the protection.
It might keep the vote off of her because you know that you can't get her out.
You may as well just give her the idol at that
point. Exactly.
Like,
what's
the point? I mean, it is
a
super cool souvenir. It's an amazing souvenir.
Yeah, he said he had to keep it. He had to keep it hidden until yesterday.
I can imagine. Oh, wow. That's funny. Like, I can imagine not wanting to give it up.
Sure.
Because I want to bring it home, and I'm feeling so overwhelmed that I've gotten kicked out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, but on the other hand, like, it's just kind of a dick move.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the world is not just the small little game they're playing on that island, you know? There's more at stake for Neil than there
especially
is.
Especially when you're being taken out of the game.
Exactly, exactly.
Then you're like, oh, I'm not a part of this game anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take my stuff and leave. Goodbye.
So Scott, do you think that Neil will get to play again?
Well, they didn't tell us at the end that he was fully recovered and hoping to play again like they did for Caleb.
They didn't, but I watched his Ponderosa video, and yeah, they let him talk for a long time about playing again.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's definitely a big thing now with Cambodia. The whole concept of playing again is like, mm-hmm, they managed to hype it back into something really special.
Yeah, well, at least with and the especially, second chance I think, concept.
Yeah, but the second chance concept really kind of, whereas returning players had gotten a bad rap because people were coming back 3 and 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was great on their 3rd or 4th time, but still people got really sick of it.
Yeah,
but
usually someone's 3rd or 4th time is not any better than their 1st or 2nd.
Or that's the time that they win and you
right,
go,
and you, okay,
oh, look, they sucked. You know, Tyson yeah, effed up 2 times in a row.
Yeah.
And then he played a masterful game. Yeah, because he had 2 games to practice.
Right.
But nonetheless, he played a great game the 3rd time, but it's inherently unfair. But something about bringing back people, but limiting it to, it can only be people who played once and didn't
yeah,
win.
I love
it's
that
like,
idea for
this
second chance.
This is your second chance, and it made it so much more special of a thing to come back.
Yep.
That now it's, you know, a whole theme of the show, like who will get to come back. They never used to really dwell on who will get to come back. Now they figured out that people care about it.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great experiment that I think paid off hugely for them. Hugely. So we will definitely see a second chance too.
Great season.
Oh yeah, paid
there
off
will
for
be
us.
A second chance at second chances.
Exactly.
Well, isn't the rumor that there's another returning player season on the horizon?
There is, but it's not a second chance season.
All right.
That I know.
Fantastic.
There's a couple rumors out there about what it is not.
Okay. It is not.
And I
scripted.
It's not scripted. I encourage you, if you want to know more about that, I don't want to spoil too much. If you want to know
sure,
more about that, check out Redmond is the guy's name. Inside Survivor is the website. And
yeah,
he gets a lot of inside info on upcoming seasons. That's
yeah, it's amazing.
Pretty fun to follow if you're
giving him that info. Yeah, he's good because he's great because he gives info about like who's going to be in the cast and what the theme might be or where it's going to be shot, but he doesn't give spoilers about what happens once the game
yeah,
begins.
Yep. That's
so
my
I
kind
can
of spoiler,
always feel safe, or I can, visiting his site.
He does occasionally. He does occasionally spoil things about what happens once the game begins. He does not spoil boot orders.
Oh, really?
He doesn't spoil specific names, but for example, he knew how many medevacs there were this season.
Mm.
Things like that are things
okay,
that he does spoil. He knew that the conditions were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. So he does know like general ideas about seasons, but the things
that
I like
still to me is in the safe zone.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, medevacs is sort of borderline just because it might spoil some surprise.
Yeah.
But I just don't care enough about medevacs to.
Yeah.
I'd almost rather be warned.
It's yeah.
By the way, there's like 800 medevacs this season, so don't get your hopes up too high. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then if the season's good, I can be pleasantly surprised. Instead
yeah,
of disappointed by all the medevacs.
Right. All right, that's enough
well,
of an advertisement
I have a
for Inside.
For you.
Oh yeah.
For yep, you.
Bring it on.
Touched on this topic earlier, but I just want to know, like, are you heartbroken about Debbie?
About Debbie no longer being a winner?
About Debbie no longer being a winner, and almost I would say like it's like they sort of
she's
pulled the camera back to show a bigger picture, and she was revealed to maybe not be that great.
Yeah, Debbie is who we thought she was, right? You know,
who
like
first thought she was.
Exactly. So I'm fine with that. I love Debbie still, right? And I still think she's one of the best pieces of casting they've had in a long time. Tony before her, and then you have to go back a ways, in my opinion, to get someone as awesome as Debbie. So I love Debbie. I'm still a huge Debbie fan. I would love for her to win. Ty's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I was asking my friend that I was watching the show with the other night. I was asking him, because he's very, very, he's a gamer, right? Hardcore gamer, very analytical. He thinks Scott's going to win, but he's never seen the show before this season.
Right. But he's just going according to logic.
Right. He's just like, okay, who's in the best position and who's the best player? Right. Exactly.
Right.
So, and I said, okay, so I know who you think is going to win, but who do you want to win? And he's like, oh, Ty, no question. Right. Like, I feel like a lot of people would love to see Ty win. And I don't think that Ty's playing a bad game at all.
Ty's like a Rupert in terms of audience reaction.
Yes, it's just off the charts. And rightfully so. The guy is delightful.
If the show had it, it still gets great ratings for where we're at in the television industry today.
Yeah.
But if it still had the number of viewers it had during Pearl Islands, like Ty would be.
He wouldn't even be able to leave his house.
So popular as Rupert was. He would be on the, you know, featured in magazines and stuff.
Totally. Yeah, he's great. I love Ty. I would be happy if he won. Absolutely. I don't think he can win, though.
He's not really on my list of contenders. I mean, I think he can win if he's in the final three. I just don't think anybody's going to let that happen.
No, these people are savvy enough to know not to take him to final three.
I think Scott will stick with him.
You know,
up until he has to cut him loose.
Yeah, you compare him to Rupert. I still compare him to Yao Man. In the sense that I think he actually has game like Yao Man did. I mean, he got an idol like Yao Man. I could see him going out fourth just like Yao Man.
I could see him going out fourth like Yao Man, but I don't think he has as much game as Yao Man. I mean, getting an idol is one thing, like looking for an idol and finding it.
But he's making good decisions, too. And he's building connections, which is great.
I'm not saying he's bad. I just think Yao Man was
way exceptional.
Cerebral.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Was a strategic thinker.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, look at how Yao Man would win those challenges.
Good.
Yeah.
But he ties better than Rupert.
For sure. So that's our continuum of fan favorites is like Rupert on the left and then Ty in the middle and then Yao Man on the right as like the,
in terms of strategic savvy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. And I love Rupert. I know people ended up getting tired of him or whatever, but I still love him.
Look, Pearl Island's Rupert is unbeatable.
And that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. When he steals those
his
shoes.
His game improved slightly. Strategic, like he learned a bit as he went along.
The peak of his game was Blood versus Water, so
well, that one, you know, doesn't really count.
Sure doesn't.
I don't think he really played in that season.
The funny thing is I think he still would have gone first even if he hadn't like done that, you know, like
I don't think so, because I got the sense and may have read that he was involved in some preseason alliances.
Okay.
Like one of the reasons, if I don't know how well you recall this, but Tina was like really upset with him. She was like, I can't believe Rupert like traded himself onto Redemption Island. Whereas we as viewers knew immediately that Rupert was, there's no way he was not going to
exactly
take the bullet for his wife. It just wasn't going to, it's just, that's who he is. But Tina was so pissed. And I think it's because he was in her preseason alliance.
That makes sense.
So I don't think he would have won, but I think that, Rupert always made the merge. And Rupert came in fourth in All-Stars and sixth in Heroes Villains. And I'm not saying he had a could have won any of them.
Yeah.
Or should have won any of them.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, he does make it far, doesn't he?
It's not terrible. He's just, it's not a strategic mastermind by any stretch, but he sort of had some awareness in Heroes versus Villains of, he was one of the only people on the Heroes team to have some awareness of what was really going on, if you remember
that. I agree with
that. And they all dismissed him. And he was, and it was,
he brought it to, he brought that info to them in such a condescending.
Yeah, no, he's not a great player. I'm just saying that his game improved slightly. Look, we don't need to talk more about Rupert.
Yeah, well, we can talk about Dr. Rupert.
Dr. Rupert. We don't need to talk about him either. He looked afraid.
He did. He
looked afraid to be on TV or have to make these decisions. He's like, why did Dr. Peter take the day off?
Dr. Joe.
Dr. Joe, is that who it is?
Dr. Peter was the one who got booted the week before.
Oh, right. Well, he'd rather have that Dr. Peter, too.
Yeah.
Well, remember the first doctor? He, like, went to jail or something?
I don't remember that.
There's a survivor doctor who at least was charged with, I don't know where it ended up, I think,
Ponzi
some
scheme.
Sort of crime. Like, no, it was like drug smuggling or something crazy. That,
ooh, maybe it was his cocaine that washed up on the beach in Panama.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm sure a quick Google would reveal what I'm talking about. And then there was Dr. Ramona.
I love Dr. Ramona.
Yeah, she's the best.
Can't
she's
beat her.
Sure. No.
All stars.
She's,
you gotta bring her back for All Stars.
Have to bring her back. It'd be great if for the All Stars seasons they had the medical person was also an All Star medical person, either Dr. Ramona or like Dr. Sean from Borneo was the medic.
all doctors season.
Peter Bagginstoss.
We got to get him in there. Yeah, let me tell you, Peter Bagginstoss. Probably never playing Survivor again. Hate to break it to everyone who's a big Peter
probably
fan.
Not, no. Although, like, he was just one vote away from that merge.
Oh,
I think
so close.
He probably would have been on for
it
a long
time. He was one rock draw away from that merge.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. So do we agree that Aubrey made a bad decision voting out Peter?
Yeah.
Did she handle it incorrectly?
Well, she definitely handled it incorrectly. But if she had voted out Julia,
she should have?
But she couldn't trust Peter.
Well, do you think she should have forced a tie? And I'm not talking about Ty, the player.
I don't know what would have happened if she forced a tie.
So they would revote, right? They'd revote, and Peter and Julia wouldn't be able to vote. And then she could flip then.
Mm.
Right? Or not, and they would draw rocks. God, can you imagine if Scott or Ty went out from drawing rocks? Like,
that just was the futility of drawing rocks.
Generally, well, pre-merge drawing rocks is horrible.
Drawing rocks is...
Sometimes it's the strategically correct.
I'm not getting sucked into this rabbit hole. It's a roll of the dice, and sometimes it pays off wonderfully, and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, of course, it's a.
You feel that sometimes the roll of the dice is the best chance you have.
Sometimes
do I have it straight?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
You
sometimes
go.
Your odds of winning are no better than 50%, so you might as well roll the dice. You know, flip a coin. Well,
I hope you get cast on the show, and I hope you have to draw rocks.
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to make sure that I do.
And then I hope you don't then spend the rest of your life going, I can't believe I got voted out from rocks.
Well, it's still, in this case, it would be a 1 in 4 chance, like, right? So 25% chance of getting voted out and a 50% chance of having the numbers afterwards. I don't agree with it pre-merge, okay? I think it's terrible. But
okay, we have that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Look.
Anyways, let's move on. Why don't we move on to our segments? Because I think we covered almost the whole episode.
I think we did it all because there wasn't much episode.
There was just a lot of strategy, which was great, but
a lot of strategy that led nowhere.
A lot of strategy that led nowhere except for to disgusting infections. All right.
Okay. Yeah, so
first segment. We'll see if the sound clip works. Here we go.
Hold up.
All right, this is Hold Up, Bro. This is the moment where you said, hold up, bro, I got to check that out again. I got to rewind my DVR.
I got one.
Oh, good, because I don't. So go ahead.
I genuinely did rewind my DVR to watch Scott carrying Jason like a baby across the beach.
That was
fun. I know they were playing it up for laughs, but it was genuinely funny.
There was a one point where he was hugging like Julia and Michelle, and it was like, geez,
they're like up to his knees.
Yeah, it was insane. Yeah, the guy is gigantic, man.
He's enormous, and like Jason does not seem like an easy guy to carry around.
No,
but he's like got him.
It was just very like, easy for him.
Baby cradling him.
Yeah.
Wandering across the beach. I laughed.
So I just had an idea for a fun immunity challenge. You get randomly paired up with someone. And you have to decide between the two of you who's going to do it. But one of you has to carry the other person. Just hold them in your arms for as long as possible. And whichever team is the longest, they both win immunity.
That can never be done.
It's a terrible idea.
Terrible.
It's a terrible.
Nobody, the most 90% of the contestants won't be able to lift anybody.
Yeah.
It's not a knock on them. It's just, you know, people are heavy.
Yeah. I know. Terrible idea.
You're insane.
Well, okay.
Quit stalling. What's your whole?
No, I'm going to. I don't really have one. I guess I did want to see Debbie try to work on Ty again. I didn't actually rewind it, but I did want to watch that again. I was looking forward to seeing that in the second time. It was just so bad. Like, so bad at it.
Yeah, it was pretty painful. Well, and also, it seemed so obvious that Ty just
wanted no part of it. And, yeah.
Did she get that, or is she just like, well, Ty's in?
Yeah, so I actually had a little argument with the guys watching the episode with. He was like, Ty shouldn't tell her he's in. And I was like, no, that's like rule number one about alliances. You say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, right? We're in agreement on that, right? Like, there's almost no times where you want to say, no, I'm not interested.
No, you have to agree right away.
Yes, exactly. All right.
And then if you have to do any damage control with another alliance that you feel supersedes it, you have to tell them. You have to tell somebody.
Tell them ahead of time.
Tell them it happened. Like, Debbie came up to me and said, do you want to be in alliance? I didn't know what to say, so I just said yes.
Right.
So, you know, no, you have to say yes. So Ty did the right thing, of course.
Yeah, He didn't sell it. He sold it well enough for Debbie, but not for everyone else who was watching. Debbie was excited. She's Debbie's like, oh, great, I got Ty.
Wow. What about another potential hold up, bro, is Joe watching Ty with the chicken.
Oh, yeah. That moment was great.
Joe looked like he wanted to murder the both of them. Just like glaring.
Did you? Who was it? Neil said that on Twitter or something that Ty had actually named the chicken Mark, which is the name of Ty's husband or boyfriend as well.
Oh my god! So he could be extra sad when the chicken died.
Yeah, when they had.
When animals are given like drab human names.
Yeah, yeah. Our cat's name was Randy. I'm a huge
Mark
fan
the
of
chicken.
That. Yeah.
Randy is even more colorful. Like, no offense. It's a great
sure,
name.
Yeah, yeah.
But it ends with the Y. It's yep. applicable to animals, but like Mark or...
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, Bob Steve. Is a good one. Steve, well, this one ends with a Y, but there was an episode of Taxi, one of the great sitcoms where...
Taxi ends with an I, though.
Reverend, no. Reverend.
I'm being obtuse.
He got me there. No, you got me. Episode where Christopher Lloyd, Reverend Jim, gets a horse who lives in his apartment.
That's a great name.
He names the horse Gary.
Yeah, Gary is a good animal name.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. What else?
Let's
got?
Move on. Yeah.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
What's the time?
It's time to get
ill regrets.
All right. This is Ill Regrets. The oft copied, never matched Ill Regrets segment. This is where we talk about who is going to have ill regrets, who is going to regret a decision or choice they made. And in this case, I'm going to say Neil is not off limits.
Yeah, I agree. As usually the person voted off is not off limits, but he was not is off limits. Because obviously they're going to regret whatever.
Yeah, although it is easy to say, yeah, like.
This time he didn't get voted off, so I'd say he's, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pick him. So
no, because he didn't do anything really stupid.
Yeah, he shouldn't have, I don't know, picked at that zit. I don't know, like what.
Right.
You know, whatever. Yeah, now, This one's interesting. I mean, obviously it's easy to say Debbie, right?
I don't think it is easy for you to say. It's certainly going to be easy when it comes around to my turn for Hillary Press to say Debbie.
Right.
But yeah. I get that for you it's a little tough.
Yeah. I actually think Michelle and Nick maybe should have gone with the brains. But on the other hand, you know, Braun are easier to beat in the end, except for Sydney.
We don't know who they went with, really.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You know, like, who they want us to think.
Yeah,
they went.
That's true. If they were to have gone with Bronze, I don't know that that's right, because those guys will win immunity. You know what I mean? I don't think Debbie is going to win immunity.
She might win a random one.
A puzzle one, maybe, but.
Yeah, something random I could see, but.
They just don't do puzzle immunities. They don't do those a lot.
Yeah, but, you know, nobody thought Keith was going to be the master of, you know, cupping balls.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, let's talk about the challenge, actually, briefly.
A lot of balls flying around.
Jeff's comments were so over the top that even the cast was laughing at them.
Right.
He's got a tone. I mean, it's good. It's better when they seem like he's not trying to give us sound.
Yeah, it's more fun when he's not aware that he's saying something
exactly.
ridiculous.
Exactly.
He's become way too self-aware. It's like an AI.
Yes, he's developed self-awareness. Yeah, totally.
But, go ahead. Yes. So who are you?
Who
were
am
you
I
trying to sell for ill regrets?
So I mean, I kind of think that they should go with the brains and not the brawn, but I think Nick fancies himself a real smart guy. And so he
yes.
thinks like he can beat the brain. He can beat the brawn on that level, whereas he can't beat the brains on that level. But Nick is also a really strong guy. I mean, look at how good he was at this challenge, you know, like, I think
it's also not like the brains are a bunch of brainiacs.
Yeah, true. Like,
was he really looking at them and going like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Neil and Aubrey are pretty freaking smart.
Yeah, but Neil's gone.
Well, no, this is before. Like, this is before.
Yeah, but well, we don't know what direction they would have gone.
Yeah, it's hard to pick someone who is going to have ill regrets because none of their decisions seem to have mattered.
I don't think it is hard.
All right, just say yours.
I think there's one player this week.
Damn, baby.
Who was showcased as making a series of bad moves.
He's got finely chiseled bones.
Right?
Right. Well, no, not the person. The person I'm talking about, well, does have some finely chiseled bones, but it's not a he. There's one player
who is it?
Was referred to as other by other cast members as being annoying and is dragging down their games. And I think it's probably Debbie for me.
Yeah, we're not going that way.
Yeah, there's no other choice. I hope she rebounds. What?
I disagree with that.
I don't know about that.
I need to get my own soundboard here to battle you.
You can't agree with me.
There's got to be positives on your soundboard, and you're.
There's this one.
We're talking big time.
There you go.
That's all I got.
Well,
I got this chestnut.
Want to know what it is?
Sure. That's
all-time favorite clip.
Neither positive nor negative. That's just in a creepy universe all its own. So yes, it's Debbie. Of course, it's Debbie.
Yeah.
It was all.
No, Debbie's gonna have ill regrets. I mean, the thing about Debbie is, I she should have ill regrets, but she doesn't strike me as the type to regret anything.
Well, I think it really is about who should regret.
Agreed. Because if we left it to only people we think will regret something, then forget it.
Then half of these people are, yeah.
Exactly.
Out of the running.
All right. Last segment. Here we go.
We only like it if it's loud. We only like it if it's loud.
I can get loud too. What the f***? Loud to
me. All right. This is getting loud. This is this is the person. Who do they stand out? Who did they stand out? Who did they stand out, Scott? Who stood out in a good way?
It's really tough without seeing the results.
I know it is tough.
Of all the machinations, but I know Nick is probably a popular choice.
Here's the thing about Nick.
I'm going to say Scott.
I like Scott too. I was going to say Scott too, but I want to talk about Nick in that sense because Nick's edit was so monstrous that I assumed he was the one who was getting voted out. You know what I mean? Like we'd
monstrous, seen monstrous. You mean like
he was in every other confessional,
so or just the size of his?
Yeah, he just was a huge part of the episode. I watched it with someone who hadn't seen any of this season before, and very little Survivor. And he was like, "Whoa, this is like the Nick show." Like it was really, really heavily involved in the episode. I get it. He was a swing vote, right? And probably the one who was talking more on the fence about where he was going to go. Whereas I think maybe Michelle had a lot of confessionals that were like, we're going to go with LeBron.
I still feel like he's being set up for a fall.
Definitely. I don't think he's going to go to the end. Plus, why would you take him to the end? He's already shown that he's a challenge, you know, a challenge threat.
Right. Right.
You got to get rid of him when you can, as soon as you don't need him anymore.
Yeah, I think he's on the way out.
But he's in a good position in the sense that he's needed. Now, unfortunately, he has to jump back. He has to jump back, and it's in the best he can hope for is a tie if he does that. So it's a bad. He's actually in a bad situation unless they can get someone to flip.
Like Julia. I mean, does the fact that one of the brains is now gone like change at all the equation of?
Here it doesn't.
Are they just gonna stick with the same plan and vote out Aubrey?
It changes Nick's equation because I think he was maybe a little tighter with Neil than he was with Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that Nick and Michelle, if they are really the swing votes, they have to do the jump back and forth bit. Otherwise, they're just 6 and 7 in a 7-person alliance, unless Ty and Julia are more loyal to them than we're being shown. You know what I mean? We talked about this earlier. Anyways,
right.
I mean, I think Scott really did stand out in a good way, and he's been standing out this whole season, except for those episodes where he was a villain.
Right, and you still think there's no way he can win.
I really don't think so. I really don't. It just doesn't seem like there's no guys that seem like they can win to me.
Well, I'd say he's the only guy left who I think could win. Like I could see him being in the final two or three. I'm like, what if it's a final two with him and Jason?
Well, do we? Yeah, that's the thing. If this is a final two, it throws a lot out the window in terms of knowing how.
I'm always hopeful it's going to be a final two.
I know. You like the final two. Oh,
of course.
I like it
the way the game was meant to be played.
Yeah. I like it okay. They're fine. Both. I like
it's
either
far
one.
Far more elegant version of the game that, you know, people are voted out until it is mathematically
impossible. what I don't like is the way that the vote, and I'm sure this is part of what the show doesn't like too, is the final three vote is usually not that interesting. It's only one person voting and it's like whoever wins immunity, you know, like it's just like kind of meh. That I don't love, and I think it just eats up airtime. So I think you just get more, bang for your buck.
With the final three.
Anyways,
I know that why they did it, for making a more exciting, dramatic show. I just think in terms of the game, it's the way the game should be played. It's the more pure way to do it.
So I think there's only three winner contenders personally, and that's Aubrey, Michelle, and Sydney. And Sydney is on thin ice.
Yeah, we haven't seen much from her recently.
Exactly. And did you see we get an appearance maybe from Storm next episode?
Yes. I remember that in the trailer. I was like, oh,
finally.
Like Storms are coming.
The promise that was made to us.
So far, it's been like all Rebecca.
It has. And to Sydney's credit. You know, she's been playing a good game.
She's done very well. So we'll see if the storm is particularly dangerous, or just maybe it's a case of the forecasters making a big deal of something that blows right over.
God, Sydney would be a badass winner, man. I'd be real happy if she won.
I don't feel like she's the winner. I don't feel like we're getting enough of her perspective.
Yeah, we aren't. I agree.
The main people, I mean, I'd agree with you about Aubrey and Michelle being contenders.
Mm-hmm.
I think Scott is still a contender.
Mm-hmm.
I think Julia, probably not.
What about Ty?
Outside shot for Julia. Ty, no. I mean, if he made it into the finals, yes. But I just don't see anybody letting him get to the finals.
I think his edit is fine, but he's just not the type of player that can win.
He'd have to get himself to the finals.
Yeah, he has to win the final four immunity, basically.
And or be very strategic in who he aligns with and how he gets there, and aggressively shapes and votes set people out in a way that doesn't seem to be a part of his style.
Right.
I mean, I haven't 100% ruled out Jason. Heard a lot about that autistic daughter.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know, he's always like, hey, things are tough, but we grit it out.
Yep, embrace the suck.
So, you know, I haven't ruled him out either.
Hmm.
I think I've ruled out Joe completely. I haven't completely ruled out Sydney, but I just don't get a feel that, like I said, from her edit. And I feel like I've ruled out Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't completely ruled out Julia. I don't think it's likely, but
well, so you got a lot of winner contenders. That's good.
And I've ruled out Ty and Debbie.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So there you go.
I don't disagree with you.
I disagree with that.
all right, Scott. I think we've said it all.
I think that's my favorite clip.
I disagree with that.
Oh well, I really do feel that. You can't disagree with my feelings.
I disagree with that.
I was waiting for the third.
Well, I have a very strong opinion on that matter.
Want to know what it is?
No. Oh,
it's 1:30 and I'm getting loopy with the soundboard.
Oh my god, it's 1:30. See what we do for you people?
It's amazing. Yeah. See, we take a week off, Scott. That's what we do.
Well, I think we'll have a guest next week.
I hope so. I'm excited. Thank you. If you've listened this far, thank you.
Thank you. Even if you haven't listened,
if you didn't give up on us when we took a week off, thank you.
If you did, I mean,
thank you.
F you. No, if they gave up on us, no, that's not cool. Dude, I just tried to turn on the Samantha Bee show the other night. It was a rerun. Okay, she took a week off. Took a week off. Yeah, what am I going to do? How dare she?
Yeah, well, okay.
I'll never enjoy her show. That show that I enjoyed, I will deny myself the enjoyment. So anyway.
Are you edging? Are you edging on Samantha Bee?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that. If you know what that means, then you know what it means. If you don't, you don't.
Something right. tells me I stepped on a landmine there. All right, well, on that note, Ryan, where can we hear from you?
Well, you can check me out at on Twitter, at Ryan Elder Music.
Can't we currently watch a television show that you...
You can, yes. I have not taken the opportunity to plug this.
Well,
yet, but I'll do it now. Yeah, you can hear my music on Party Over Here on Fox on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. It's a sketch show. It's very funny. Got a really cool cast. Three up-and-coming young female comedians. They're amazing, super funny. And I think it's got a lot of promise, so hopefully...
And I've watched the show. It's not only is it funny, the music.
Oh, thank you.
To die for.
Yeah. The theme song and bumpers I co-wrote with the Hood Internet, which is a somewhat famous, actually fairly famous DJ group. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, I really like that interstitial music. And the theme song.
We should have someone from the Hood Internet on this podcast as our guest. Why not?
Sure. They're, as you put it, they're fairly famous.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've heard of them via you.
Okay.
Well, they do great work. On Party Over Here on the, yeah. It's the Fox Network show that Ryan is just killing it on.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. So, you are, where can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, if they, I'm all over. I'm everywhere.
Just dig around.
I'm commenting, I'm posting, I'm tweeting.
You're just retweeting, just doing it all.
Retweeting, detweeting.
But what account? Under what account, Scott?
Oh, it's my name at Scott Chernoff.
All right, and there's a show that you're working on the air now too, right?
Yes, there is. Yes. Please so watch it.
What if we wanted to watch
that? It might be for a very young crowd. School of Rock, the TV show. It's based on the movie. It's airing on the Nickelodeon Network, and I'm one of the many talented, dare I say, writers for that show.
I dare say that.
Dare
all
to
right.
dream.
So,
a lot of them actually really amazing.
If you liked this rambling, punch drunk podcast,
then we pity you. And
but
we love
rate us and review us on iTunes, and make sure you give us hell for missing a week.
Have we got any reviews or comments?
I haven't looked lately, but
we'll check it out.
Yeah. All right, Scott. It's been great. We'll talk again
next week. Thank you, Ryan.
Tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.